If you're not totally free tonight, I want you to be prepared to get free. If you're still bound in your body or in your mind or in your emotions or in your circumstances or, heaven forbid, in your spirit, I want you to prepare to get free. For tonight, deliverance has come to the house of God. Tonight, Jesus, our deliverer, is here to set God's people totally and completely at liberty. Now, I knew we were going to minister along these lines. I didn't know we were going to minister right at this time until we began to sing. Jesus breaks every fetter, and praise God, He did break every fetter. He broke every blasted one of them. You know that the devil hasn't got one thing that he can lay on you and keep you bound with. Whom the Son makes free is free indeed. I want you to know I am free tonight. Praise the Lord. I wasn't always. Even after I became a Christian, I wasn't always. Even after I became baptized in the Holy Ghost, I couldn't say always that I was totally free. But I can tell you tonight I'm free. Hallelujah. And you can be too. And I want to encourage you tonight. I'm going to minister to you in just a moment, in just a few moments, in the name of the Lord and in the place of the Lord. And if you're in need tonight of deliverance, if you are still held, if you're still bound, if the devil has laid something on you and you can't shake it and you can't get free, I want you to be prepared tonight to receive your deliverance. I want you to be prepared tonight to have that bond, that fetter broken in your life. I'm going to help you break it. I said I'm going to help you break it. Now, Jesus is the one that breaks every fetter, but we must touch him for that deliverance and for that freedom and for that breaking. I know he can break them, and I know he will break them, and I'm going to join my faith with yours to get yours broken. Now, in the gospel, we have a story in the 13th chapter of the book of Luke, beginning to read in the 10th verse about a circumstance when Jesus was here on the earth. How many of you believe Jesus is still here in his spirit? When Jesus was here in his flesh, and he worked the cities and towns of Palestine, of Israel. And one day he happened to be in a synagogue and he was teaching that day. It was a Sabbath day. It was the day in which God's people had been gathered together to honor the Lord and to study his word, much as we have today. And on that day, Jesus beheld a woman there who was bowed over because the scripture says she had a spirit of infirmity. A demon spirit had attached itself to that woman and had caused her body to be all bent over, crippled. Jesus broke that fetter that day. And because Jesus was there and because that woman was there, that woman straightened up and was delivered from her bondage and she went home whole. So can you. And he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. I'm reading the 10th verse. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years. Now, that's a long time, kids. 18 years this woman was bowed over with this. You know, the word infirmity in the Greek literally means weakness. She wasn't tall and straight and strong. She was crippled and broken and bent. And she'd been like that 18 years. And the scripture says she was bowed together. Luke says she was bowed together, bent over, and could in no wise lift up herself. Now, here's a woman in trouble. She's got a real problem in her own strength and in her own ability. She wants to straighten up, but she can't. She's bound. That's what you call a bond. That's what you call a fetter. That's what you call a yoke. That's what you call slavery. And here's a woman who apparently loved God. She was in the house of God on the day that the Lord had set aside under the old covenant for the celebration of his creation and his deliverance. And she was there attending upon the things of God, worshiping God, and hearing the words of God. But she was unable to set herself free. She needed a power and an ability. She needed an enabling that was above and beyond herself in order to be delivered from this yoke and this bond and this fetter. She could in no wise lift herself up. And when Jesus saw her, I want you to know how Jesus responds when he sees fetters. I want you to understand tonight how Jesus thinks when he sees the devil has bound up his people. I want you to understand how it concerns the master when he sees his children who are not completely free. He cares. It matters to him. It matters to him if you're being tormented in your mind. It matters to him if the devil's laid some junk on your body and it's bothering you. It's of some concern to the master. And when he saw her, he called her to him. Isn't that precious? He would say to this woman, come here. Come over here. And then he said unto her, woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. Hallelujah. Wouldn't you have loved to have been there that day? Except this is just as good. Because we're here. This is the day that the Lord has drawn us together to worship him and to hear his word. And isn't Jesus present in the midst of his people tonight? And so we have to see him with the eyes of faith, and we have to see him with the eyes of the spirit, and we cannot touch him with our physical hands or hear him with our natural ears or see him with our natural eyes, but we sure know he's here because we can touch him with faith, and we can hear him by faith because we're hearing his words. And we can see him with the eye of faith. And there's no less Jesus here tonight than there was in the synagogue that day. Jesus is saying to you tonight, come here. Come on, just come on. Woman, you're loosed from your infirmity. Man, you're set free. Him whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Can't you hear his words? And he laid his hands on her. Now, if she's free, why would he lay his hands on her? He laid his hands on her, not because there was anything special in what he was doing with his hands, but it gave her a point of contact, a place, an instant, a moment in time when she could release her faith and be set free. And so he touched her with his hands. He'd already said to her, you're loosed. She was loosed the minute he spoke the words. And he laid his hands on her, and she felt his touch. Her faith was released. She let go, and she said, bless God, I am. And immediately, she was made straight. Oh, hallelujah. Woo! She was made straight. Made straight. No more bowed together. No more necessary for her to help herself, because she had touched Jesus, and Jesus had set her free. And then what did she do? I guess you would too. She glorified God. She must have filled that synagogue with the praises of Almighty God that day. Can you imagine 18 years of that kind of life? And Jesus broke her fetters and set her free. She glorified God. And the ruler of the synagogue, verse 14, there are always a couple of these around. The ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day. And he said to the people, there are 6 days in which men ought to work, and in them therefore come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. In other words, that's not appropriate for the house of God. The Lord answered him and said, I'm kind of glad the ruler of the synagogue was there, because it gave the Lord Jesus an opportunity to say some other things here which are helpful for us tonight. And if it hadn't been for this, can I say stupid man? If it hadn't been for him, we would not have these words recorded. Jesus wouldn't have said them. There'd been no occasion to say them. And what he said here gives us the basis upon which we may expect the same benefit that this woman obtained. So the Lord then answered him and said, thou hypocrite, don't you like the way Jesus went directly to the heart of the matter and how he didn't shilly-shally around? He called this man straight out. This is the ruler of the synagogue. This is not some usher. This is the guy who's in the pulpit. Jesus said, you're a hypocrite. You say one thing, feel something else on the inside. You masquerade as a man of God, but on the inside of you, you don't care about the people. You could care less whether this woman went out of here bowed over or not. Hypocrite. Doth not each of one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? Don't your dumb animals, who are worth very little to you except for you to kill them and use them or use them as beasts of burden, certainly not worth what a human being is worth. But yet when they're thirsty on the Sabbath, don't you loose them for their stall and walk them down so that they can get water at the watering trough? Verse 16, and ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound low these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? Now, several things we see there. First of all, this woman was a daughter of Abraham. She's more important than a cow and an ox. Or an ox and a... what was the other animal there? An ass, thank you. She's a daughter of Abraham. She's a partaker of the covenant which God has with his beloved people. Being a descendant of Abraham, she's an heir of the promise that God had given to Abraham. Galatians chapter 3 says that if we believe on Jesus Christ, then we are also children of Abraham. If you take Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and confess him as your master and Lord, you are also of the seed of Abraham. You're a child of Abraham and heir of his promises. Now, here's a woman who, because she was a daughter of Abraham, was entitled to the delivering ministry, the bond-breaking and yoke-loosing ministry of Jesus Christ. She was entitled to that because she was an heir of the covenant that God had made to Abraham. I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to bless all your children, all your seed. Under the New Testament, we see that that same promise that was given to Abraham also is given to us through the seed of Abraham, Jesus the Christ. Galatians 3:13 is the place. Let me mention it again. If you believe on Jesus Christ, if he is your Savior and if he is your Lord, then you are entitled to the blessings of Abraham. And apparently one of the blessings of Abraham is deliverance from demonic bondages and yokes. One of the benefits of that covenant, one of the blessings of Abraham, according to this passage of Scripture, is deliverance from satanic fetters and bindings. 1 John 3 and 8 says, for this purpose was the Son of God made manifest. Why? That he might destroy the works of the devil. Now, it didn't say he'd just come and hinder them a little bit. He'd come and break them and destroy them. That's the second thing we see here in this verse. This woman was a daughter of Abraham, and she was not bound by any, for any reason other than Satan had bound her. Clearly, I can't tell you how many church people do not believe that Satan does these things. I can't tell you how many church people don't believe in a real live Satan. They believe in an evil force. Kind of like the one that motivated Darth Vader, I guess, from what I hear, they talk about the Force. Is that right? I mean, I didn't see the film. I wouldn't want to see a film that starred that kind of an ugly character. But they talk about the Force. And there are those that believe evil is a force. Well, a force you can't talk to, you can't get a hold of, you can't do anything with, it's just there. But evil's not a force, evil's a person. In the same way, good's a person. So you can get a hold of him. You can embrace Jesus. You can embrace good. You can also get evil by the throat and choke it. See? Because it's a person. It's a person. A personality. You can talk to him. You can instruct him. You can command him. And you can fight him. You can't fight these wispy kinds of ethereal things, forces. You only fight personalities. Satan. Jesus said, ruler of the synagogue, Satan has bound this woman. 18 years, Satan has kept this woman under his dominion and kept her bowed over like a broken old piece of machinery. She's a daughter of Abraham, and whether she knew it or not, she knows it now. She is entitled to the deliverance that is part of Abraham's blessing. And I'm simply giving to her today what is hers. And I'm helping her to receive her freedom and receive her deliverance. And it doesn't matter what day it is. Sabbath day, smabbath day. Besides, the Sabbath wasn't made for man, or man wasn't made for the Sabbath, but the Sabbath was made for man. It was a beneficial day created for man. And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed. I bet they were. especially when the woman is jumping around the church and hallelujah and praising God. And I bet she was making a scene that day. I can tell you, if I was in that condition 18 years, you know I'd be making a scene, glorifying God. So all his adversaries were ashamed, and all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. Now, do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and have you given your life to him insofar that he has become your Lord and Master? If that's the case, then you're a child, a daughter, or a son of Abraham with regard to what we're looking at here tonight. And you're entitled to the benefits of the covenant that God made with Abraham. That's not something that was done away with. Jesus came to fulfill all that. And in the temple that day, in the synagogue that day, he was able to say to this woman, you're loosed from your bondage. You're loosed from your infirmity. It's not necessary for you to go one more minute in that condition. And he laid his hands on her. And she received, apparently, that deliverance, because the scripture says immediately she was made straight and began to glorify God. Now, I know some folks in the congregation tonight who are in need of the deliverance of Jesus tonight. Some of you I've talked to, some others I haven't talked to, but yet I know that you're in need tonight. The devil has come into your circumstances, and he has formed a fortress in you and has set up a stronghold in you, and he has you bound. Some of you are bound physically. There's something going on in your body that you can't throw off. You've tried to shake it, but you just can't get rid of it. You can't shake it off. It's a bond. It's a bond. It's a yoke. It's a fetter. Some of you are troubled with your minds. The devil's playing with your minds. Some of you, he's set up a great big lie, and you believe in it. You don't want to believe it, but you are believing it. You want to not believe it, but you can't help yourself because it's so plausible. And his reasonings are so strong. And you've accepted it. And you don't like it. You'd like to get freedom for that. Freedom in your mind. Some of you have abnormal fears and phobias that come upon you, frequent angers and outbreaks, bursts of temper. You see, for us to be followers of Jesus Christ, we are to have his temperament. How many times have I heard Christians say, well, I've just always had a bad temper? You don't have to always have a bad temper. You see, you don't have to live like that. You don't have to hurt the ones that you love the most and then hate yourself because of it and because you can't control it. You don't have to be like that. Jesus wasn't like that. The fruits of his spirit are goodness and kindness and gentleness. And David even said about gentleness, he said, thy gentleness hath made me great. There's a greatness in the gentle quality of the Spirit of Jesus, and that capability is on the inside of you. That's what's natural for you. It's abnormal for you to be any other way. That's all I'm going to say. I want everybody to stand on their feet, please.